Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
So when they asked me to talk about this, well, okay, first of all, they said, what is something that you feel comfortable talking about? And I said, helping people to realize that God can help you in your homeschool. And they said, do you have something else? And I was like, and then they were saying, like, we should do something with nature. And I was like, I love the outdoors. And they're like, good, you get to do it. And I was like, oh, okay. It's funny because I started about 3 years ago realizing that I needed help in my homeschool. And I read a book that talked about letting God be the principal of your homeschool. And so I would, every time fall came around, because that was like the time of year that I was like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And I would pray about it and I would say, what do you need me to teach my kids this year? And he would lay it all out for me. And in 2020, in the fall of 2020, I had started doing the homeschool thing, and let me back up. I've been homeschooling off and on for 18 years. So this was like I had started my year of homeschool stuff, of what he wanted me to do. And it was in November, and God said, you should go to school. And I was like, me? I'm going to go to school? I was never going to go to school. And so I signed up for Pathways, and I started the process of going to school. Thank you. And so after I finished Pathways, which was like, you know, one class at a time, it was really simple. God said, go full time, 12 credits. And I was like, really? And homeschool still. Okay, I'll do it. And so I prayed and I said, what am I supposed to be teaching my kids? And this is the answer that I got. He said, set aside everything that I've ever told you to do and get them outside so that I can teach them what they need to know. So that was my plan for this last year. And I would love to tell you that it's been completely successful. But school has made it so that I'm super busy with my 12 credits, right? Every semester I've been doing 12 credits. But I have been taking them outside. And so I'm just going to share with you some of the things that we have learned as a family and that I have learned through nature. Before I start with that, I just want to give some quotes from a conference talk from last October. Bishop, I don't know how to say his name because he's from France and I don't know French, so I may butcher this, but thank you. Did you guys hear that? That'll work. He says, our interactions with the beauties of nature around us can produce some of the most inspiring and delightful experiences in life. The work of creation is not an end itself. It is an integral part of God's plan for his children. Its purpose is to provide a setting in which men and women may be tested, exercise agency, find joy, and learn to progress so that they may one day return to the presence of their Creator and inherit eternal life. Among all man's achievements, none can equal the experience of becoming co-creators with God in giving life or in helping children to learn, grow, and thrive. And after I read that, I was like, yeah, that's what it is. Nature can help my kids thrive. And so what I started doing was I got some notebooks off of Amazon that were empty. They were plain sheets on the inside. And we decided to make nature journals. And so what I would do is we would all go outside and I would say, find something that just stands out to you. And I want you to draw it in your way. However it looks to you, I mean, my 8-year-old, she's 8, so hers is going to look different than my 16-year-old that's taking art lessons, right? But, like, draw it how you see it. And then just if they could write, I said, just write what God's teaching you in that. And so we started doing that, and then the snow came. They were like, we don't want to go outside to draw, but we will find something from the window, you know? So what we started doing was there's a YouTube channel that's called Kids Art Hub, and we would choose one animal a week. We would do art, you know, this art day once a week, and they would choose an animal that they wanted to draw, and we would all draw that animal together. And so we could see the different, you know, just how different each of our same animal was. And it was really fun. And then we decided to start talking about the characteristics of each animal and how that applies to our lives and how that can help us to have the values that can get us back to our Heavenly Father. And in doing that, I had a friend that messaged me and said, hey, we're doing this co-op if you'd like to be a part of it. And we're going to do it through a program that's called WIRA. I don't know if any of you have heard of WIRA, but it stands for Who I Really Am. And what it is the same thing that we had been doing. It takes an animal, you see the characteristics of the animal, and then you think about how you can be more like Jesus Christ through the characteristics of the animal. And so every week we were getting together to do this this co-op, and then they would separate, and the youth would go separate from the younger kids, and they were learning the values of becoming more like Jesus Christ. And so we started doing that. And then one day, I was in the temple, and I had this, like, download come, and I left the temple, and I was like, that was so cool, what was it? And I was like, okay, so then, you know, it was like a 4-month process that this kept happening, and every time I got out of the temple, it was like, what was that? And there was times that I was like, I wish I could have a piece of paper and a pencil to write it down, but I can't. And so there was this one day that I had gone, and I had prayed to please remember what it was. And so what it was that we have weeds, right, in our yard that can torment our garden and make it terrible to have to deal with. But what I learned from that was those weeds are still from God, even though Satan wants us to believe that they're not, that they're bad. But what I finally started to realize was the weeds come up where we want the plants to grow, but they come up when they're ready to be used, because I found that most of the time those weeds are herbs and they're medicinal and they're useful. And so I started realizing, okay, these weeds are coming up, I'm going to start using them instead of being upset about it. Instead of being like, oh, those darn weeds. Because I hated pulling the weeds. I hated doing the garden work. But I started to use them and see that they were from God. It was from God. God was trying to say, yes, they're here, but why don't you use them instead of turning it into a negative thing? So as we kept going, and some of these are things over the years that I've realized that nature has taught me that I've been able to help then teach my kids. So I'm just going to kind of share some of those. So one day we decided to float down a river with our kayaks, and we had never done it before. My husband had as a little child where we had done it, and he was like, I'm pretty sure we stop at this park. But he forgot that it was actually this park, and we had started here. And a two-hour, what was supposed to be 2 hours, turned into 6 hours, because the park from here to here that we were supposed to get out of, the water was so low that we were having to carry the kayaks out. And there was times that I kept saying, well, why don't we, like, just paddle backwards to get to the park we had just passed? And what I learned from that was that if you paddle backwards, it's a lot harder to do than when you just let the river take you. And what I learned from that was that when you're trying to work against what God wants you to do, it's a lot harder than when you let him guide your life. So we have a really good friend that taught us about sunflower circles. And it's something that I had always wanted to do. I had seen it on Pinterest, and I thought that would be cool. So what I had seen was that you plant a sunflower circle. So you plant their sunflowers into a circle, and then you have, like, this little cool place to just go kind of chill, read books, whatever, in this circle. And so we were getting ready to put this together, but we thought it would be fun to be on grass. But have you ever tried to plant things where grass was? It's fun. So the whole family got outside, and we marked off where we wanted to put this circle. And we dug out the grass, and we broke up the ground, and we covered it with compost, and we worked the dirt to get it ready. And then we planted the seeds, and we gave it some water. And as we did this process, as a family, we were talking about what we could learn from this. So some of the things that we learned was that sometimes we have to take out the things that don't matter in life. Sometimes there's hard things that we just have to take out and get rid of. And then we have to break up some of the stuff. And sometimes inside of us we have to be broken almost to realize that change has to happen in order to grow. I had a friend tell me that when farmers have fields in the fall, they'll dig up, you know, they'll tear up the whatever, the fields, and there'll be big clumps of dirt. And if there's not a hard freeze in the winter, there's still hard dirt. But if there's a good freeze in the winter, it breaks the dirt up to where it is soft enough to plant in. So really, truly, we have to be broken up in order to grow. We have to go through those hard trials. We have to go through them in order to grow. So we broke up the dirt, right? We changed on the inside, and then we were surrounded by good soil so that we could flourish and grow. And then you get to start watching the beauty grow around you. And not forgetting that daily you need nourishment and growth from whatever it is that I found. For me, it was the scriptures. It was conference talks. It was good discussions with good friends. And my kids, being able to talk with them about the scriptures and doing Come Follow Me with them and discussing the scriptures that are in the Come Follow Me. When I was young, I had always felt like my mom and dad gave me my testimony. It was a seed. It was something that they had taught me, and it grew from this little seed right into this tree. And then I became a teenager, and I decided to make some different choices, and I stopped going to church. I stopped paying tithing. I stopped doing all these things. And I thought that I had to replant a seed when I decided that it was time to come back. And then what I found out was fruit trees have to be pruned in order to get better fruit. And I realized I didn't have to start all over. I just had to prune out the things that didn't matter, that I needed to center my life back into Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you guys know this, but an apple tree and an avocado tree, you can't take a seed from either one of them. You can't take an avocado pit or an apple seed and get the same fruit when you plant it. How many of you knew that? It has to be grafted in. This is one of the things that I learned was, or what I felt was, that the Savior's the root, and sometimes you have to graft that in to be planted in, which I loved. Another example, I got to the point that one of my favorite things to do was to get up when I woke up. And I remember reading it from a conference talk that I can't remember who it was, but she said that making an appointment with the Lord was crucial, and to keep that appointment with exactness. And so I made this decision that I would just get up when I woke up. And you know what? The Lord is funny. He has a sense of humor. Because sometimes I would wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning and I was like, okay, I'm going to get up. And I would get up and I would read my scriptures and I would write in my journal and I would pray. And as the weather got better and it was summertime, I would get up and I would go outside and I would read to the sunrise. And it was one of my favorite things to do. And one day I was sitting reading my scriptures and this raven flies by and is like making this noise like so loud. And I could not figure out why, but I was watching it, and it was almost like it this bird was saying, "Watch me, watch me." And I was like, okay. So I watched the raven, and at this time I had started learning about looking up the meanings for animals, the spirit animal of the animal. And I looked up the raven, and this is what it said. The raven encourages us to dive deeper, to look within, to seek answers, to put in motion the much needed change. And the next day, I was reading in Genesis, and I'm going to pull it up real quick and just read it, if it'll let me. Genesis 8. Seven and eight. And it says, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. How many of you knew that in the Noah's Ark story that the raven went first? I didn't. I don't know why I didn't, because I always had been told about the dove. And so I didn't know that the raven was first. But here's what I was taught from that. The raven went first, and then the dove. And if you take the dove as if it was Jesus Christ, the raven tells us that we have to go within before we can follow him. We have to dive down deep within us, change us on the inside, so that we can follow our Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, the next example is probably one of my favorites, and this one came about 2 years ago. I had this thought that, you know, right as springtime came, my kids were always like, why do we have to do schoolwork? Why do we have to do this? We want to go outside. And I was like, because. And I thought that I had to follow the schedule of school, right? So you start in August, you finish in May. And here is what the Lord taught me. Springtime is the time that the earth is awake and ready for growth and change. And so I realized spring was the time to get my kids outside to learn from nature, because that was the time for change and growth. Summertime is a time for nourishment and growth. So summertime is the time that we get to get outside and learn about planting a garden, about taking care of it, about taking care of who you are and knowing who you are. And so we would do that. And then fall is the time for preparing for winter and getting ready for the learning, which is, it was always a natural time for me to just say, fall always came around and I was like, okay, what are we going to do for school this year? Thinking from September to, you know, or August to May. And so that was like the time and it usually still is the time for me that I'm like, okay, what is it you want me to teach them? And then winter comes, and that's the time for reflecting and learning from what we've done from spring, summer, and fall. And so I just started creating that for our family instead of from, you know, I started to realize that I didn't have to make them sit down and do those things because they were learning them just by being outside. In fact, my 8-year-old daughter had no desire to read. She had no desire at all. And so we just got outside and we just played. And I read to them often. We read a lot at our house. And one day she just sits down with me and starts reading a chapter book. And I was like, how did you know that? And she's like, I don't know. I just did. She just figured it out. And so I started to realize that I didn't need a curriculum. I didn't need, and this was just for us. We didn't need all of the things that I thought I needed, because they were learning so much from everything that we had talked about through nature that they didn't need everything that I thought they needed. In fact, there was a question on one of the homeschool forums I'm on, and they said, how do people homeschool? It's so expensive. And I was like, I haven't found it to be expensive because I don't buy the curriculum all the time. Because God has a curriculum. If you look at nature, you see it. You find it. He's there to teach you exactly what they need to know. It's there. And he is the principal. He is the one to look to ask. How can I teach them? How can they learn? Through nature, they learn so much. let's see. So, some other examples. A caterpillar. A caterpillar, right? They eat and eat and eat until then they build a cocoon around themselves, right? And then they make the choice to become a butterfly. They make that choice to burst out of the cocoon. And so, I knew that I would get something from this as I was standing here. So, my kids, I have two that are older teenager, and one of them is 18, and I remember when he was about 16, he was wanting to do all these things that were nothing like I thought I was supposed to be teaching him. So, he had all these things that he wanted to do, and I was like, but isn't he supposed to do this, this, and this, because that's what a high schooler does. And I remember thinking, but that's what public school does. That's not what homeschoolers do. And so I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And so I prayed about it, and God said, let him do what he's passionate about. So I let that go. I stopped thinking that he has to have this, and he has to have this, and he has to have the diploma, he has to have the paper, and realizing he needs to know how to budget. He needs to know how to do real life. He needs to know how to open his wings and get out when he's ready. He makes that choice to go. And my daughter is 16 and already there. And I'm like, ah, you can't do that yet. You're not old enough to do that yet, because that's not till you're 18, right? Because that's what public school says. You have to do this, this, and this to be able to branch out. And so, once again, I prayed and I said, what am I supposed to do about this? And he said, you have got to stop holding her back, because she is ready, and you have to let her go, because she's ready to go. And so I asked her, okay, you have, you know, a few more years. What do you want me, like, what have you not been taught? What can I teach you that you haven't been taught? And she said, budgeting. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And so we showed her everything, you know, and there's an app that we have, and she has an app, but she is the most incredible saver I've ever met. I mean, she gets money and she holds on to it until she has enough to buy the thing that she wants. So really, she really has already learned it without knowing that she's learned it. But there was just, you know, she's that caterpillar. She got everything that she needed to know, and she's ready to go. Even though I'm not ready to let her go yet. But so I'm letting her do some things that are ready for her to branch out and go, even though she's not leaving home yet. just as I've been sitting in some of these classes today, I've been just taking notes of things that kind of popped up that reminded me of certain things. And I can't remember what class it was today, but there was, it was in here. It was Jamie. She was talking about her chicken and her chicken coop. And I was reminded of one time we were sitting outside, and we have chickens, and maybe like a year and a half ago we decided, like, why do we always keep them cooped up in the coop? Just to get the eggs? That was it. Just to get the eggs. And so we decided to just let them out. And they got to just roam anywhere in our yard they wanted to go. And my kids thought it was fun because they got to do Easter egg hunts every day. Which was great because we actually, when we first got married, we decided that we didn't want to do anything commercialized with holidays. We do a little bit of the Santa Claus thing, but we never did with the Easter Bunny thing. It was always about Christ. And so that was fun for them because they didn't really know a lot about Easter egg hunts. And so finding eggs every day has been this really fun thing. Well, one day, a storm was coming in, and we were sitting out on the back patio, and the chickens were kind of doing their thing. And we had a chicken that had little chicks. And this hawk started flying above the chicken. And it was so interesting because the chicken instantly covered the little chicks and just tucked them in and just kind of poofed up and just to protect. And we watched the hawk take out the chicken. But every single one of those chicks were protected and saved. And so we were talking to our kids about that, and we were asking them what they learned from that. What lesson in life did they learn from that? And they said that the hawk was Satan coming down to attack the little chicks, which were them, and that the chicken was the savior, protecting the little chicks. It's in nature. God is in the details. There is so much to learn from being outside. I decided to ask some of my kids some of their favorite things that they have learned from nature. And one of my kids said they love to watch animals communicate. They love watching the communication of animals. My son really, really loves bees. And so he told his dad, I want to learn how to do bees. And so my husband bought a bunch of bees, and they set up the hive. And he started watching them and researching them. And what he found was, when a bee finds pollen, they go find the pollen, and then they come back to the hive, and they do this little dance, and all the bees know exactly where to go to get the pollen. And he was like, that's so fascinating. In fact, one of my kids' favorite things to do, because I have this rule that they can't have screen time unless they do a chore that I didn't ask them to do that has nothing to do with a daily chore. And then they can earn time on a screen. And I only let them have 20 minutes a day. And every time they get that 20 minutes a day, the first thing they do is say, can I please study and learn about whatever animal it is or whatever thing it is they're studying about? And so they, you know, they'll tell me, like, did you know that a giraffe does this, this, and this? And then he'll say, that's kind of cool because, and then they say something that they learned about the animal that they can do. It's fascinating that they just, and I'm, my kids are 8, 10, 13, 16, 18, and they're still learning these things at young ages that God wanted them to know. Because I trusted God, and I trusted that when he told me to let him teach them what they needed to know. And so even though I'm super busy with school and trying to do school, they're still learning. And I did make it a point that I do school a certain amount of time, and then there's a specific time in the day for 3 hours or so that we all get outside. We go hiking. We go walking, and in this winter time, we just bundle up. We go outside. And sometimes I'm tired of it because I don't like the snow. I'm ready to move south. I told my husband the other day, I think in my older age, I'm tired of the snow and I don't want it anymore. I want to move south and live south. And he's like, the heat's no better. And I'm like, I'll take it. I'll take the heat. I'm tired of the snow. But I just want you to know that God really is in the details. So how can nature help your family to thrive? So I just wanted to kind of open it up, and I just want you guys to tell me if there's anything that you have learned that nature taught you. Yes. You know, I used to be, okay, I'm not going to say used to. I am terrified of snakes. And I'm going to tell you why I'm afraid of snakes. Because because when I was 12, I used to babysit this little girl every day in the summer, and her neighbor had a snake, and he would chase me around the house with it, and I would run in the bathroom and lock the door, and he'd have it go under the door of the bathroom. I am terrified of snakes. But even more than that, I've always been terrified of rattlesnakes, because I always was told that if you got bit, you would die, right? And in the process of learning about the weeds and everything that I had learned about, one thing that I learned was everything in nature that has something that can hurt you, within a 20-mile radius, there's something that will help you. So wherever rattlesnakes are, there is a plant or something that will help you from that rattlesnake bite. I didn't know that, but I learned that. And so I learned the different plants that there is around that can actually help you. And as I thought about that, I thought, okay, so everywhere Satan tells me I'm going to die because of something, Jesus says, nope, I'm going to help protect you. Yeah. So I saw a video once that this lady decided to take I don't even know how to even say it, but it was a speaker that if she put it on something, you could hear like really small sounds. And she attached it to the leaf of a sunflower. And it was making, as you started to listen, it was making this really pretty sound, but then people would walk by it and it would kind of go off. But the longer that they stood there, it went back to that again. And what she discovered was our heartbeat is the same beat that the earth makes. And so when you go into nature, you're connecting with nature, which is what brings joy. And you're connecting because you're connecting with God's creation. And so she discovered that is why it's so important to get kids outside. Because to find that joy, they need that connection with nature. Yeah, yeah. Two stories real quick on that, and then I'll get to you. So, and thanks for bringing that up. I love hearing from other people because then it reminds me, too, of things that go along with that, too. Number one is that my sister worked for an equine therapy place where there was troubled youth that worked with the horses, but they couldn't, the horses that they fed, they couldn't ride because they would watch the teen that was struggling, and when they were struggling inside, that horse that they fed was going crazy outside. And so the ones that they rode could not be the ones that they fed because they connected so much with the horse that the horse could sense when something wasn't okay with the child. And the second thing I was going to say about that is same thing with horses. I have a daughter that has had some really traumatic things happen to her in her life. And she went through therapy and stuff like that, but she feels like the one thing that helped her the most is days that she just didn't want to talk, days that she was really, really struggling, she would go spend time with her horse. And watching the horse interact with her and her interact with the horse, they created this bond that she was really, truly able to heal from her traumatic stuff because of her relationship with the horse. So, yeah, I love that. They're, animals really do. They do know. One more question I have real quick before we end that I just wanted to throw out there. So as you've been listening and had some thoughts, the title to this class was Helping Kids to Thrive. What does it look like to you when they're thriving? What is that? What is thriving for you and your family? And what can you do to help your family to thrive? What is thriving to you, and what will it take to help make your family to thrive? We live on 3.5 acres. We have this one section in our yard that's a willow tree that's kind of fallen over, and they call it their jungle because the tree fell over, but we haven't taken care of it. It's just sitting, but there's still leaves growing on it. And they'll get up in the morning and they'll say, we want to go adventure today. We're going to go do an adventure and whatever. And they say, we're going to go find food and water. And they go outside and they're like, we're going to go find food and water. And the next thing you know, they're like outside with water bottles. And I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, we found water. That's what we wanted to do. And so we got them backpacks for Christmas. And to go backpacking, because about 3 years ago, I went through Yellowstone in the backcountry of Yellowstone for 5 days. It was one of the best experiences of my life, and I wanted to share it with my family. And so last year, I took my 16-year-old for her birthday. We don't do birthday gifts anymore. We do experiences. And so we took her backpacking through Yellowstone for 6 days. And my two younger ones were like, what? We want to go? So we bought them backpacks. So we're going this year for 5-6 days through Yellowstone. But it's just funny to it's funny to watch them, because they doesn't matter what time kind of weather it is. They want to be outside and they want to learn from God out in nature. So anyway, just to kind of close it up, I know that God wants to teach all of us, and I know that He created the nature, and what better place for them to learn from Him than outside. So, anyway, I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.